The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Where are you going?
No, turn around, turn around. I had to cut off, just got a little noisy. It's in some green tacos here. If the farmer will pay me.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm down here with a police officer in Ottawa. How are you doing today?
Doing great.
How's it been down here?
Nothing but good. People are super good. The truckers have been having a good time. They've been getting their point across. And you know what? It's a beautiful city that we're in.
Switch over to the CBC. And of course, you're going to be told about insurrectionists and violence and racism. And there's a police officer himself saying how obedient and how nice the truckers have been in Ottawa. Scenes from the front lines, all the insurrectionists out playing street hockey. Even the story about the homeless shelter, you know, the truckers stealing food from the homeless, that story has completely been debunked. And all of these ties, these connections that soup kitchen has to Justin Trudeau's government. You know, the PM that fled the scene. He's nowhere to be seen. He's off in some lake house somewhere. And now the soup kitchen, they didn't file a complaint, by the way. No police report. They just put the report out there. It's all about the headlines. Yeah, truckers stealing food from homeless. Trudeau's government has given that homeless shelter millions of dollars in funding. So they're in Trudeau's camp for sure. Lots and lots to get to on today's program. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining our growing audience. And believe me, when you see what the communist media is churning out daily, it does make you appreciate those few news sources that are actually proclaiming the truth. You can get to the live stream of this show through our broadcast partner, CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on their platform, and also Channel 3 and 6 run replays of this program, audio replays of this show. The video stream of this program is available exclusively at our very own website, thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live. And you can get to the live stream and also to the podcast that we post after the fact. So what all of the media in Canada, for the most part, they've also gotten funding from the government. They've been bailed out. The CBC was bailed out by it. Trudeau has bragged about this. He's joked about the fact that they're in his back pocket. So they're providing cover and certainly not reporting the truth. The truth is that there are truckers in Ottawa giving food to the homeless. There are protesters who are pushing back snow for local businesses, handing out food to the homeless, as I say, playing hockey in the streets, honking their horns. It's pretty amazing to watch, and yet it's gone on now for, what, 4 or 5 days? Look at this delusional tweet that the Prime Minister in hiding sent out yesterday. He said today that in the House, members of Parliament unanimously condemned the anti-Semitism, the Islamophobia, anti-black racism, homophobia, and transphobia that we've seen on display in Ottawa over the past number of days. It says, together, let's keep working to make Canada more inclusive. That, as I said yesterday, these tweets of a prime minister attacking his own people, attacking a movement that is about as inclusive as you can get. When you're out there handing out food to the homeless, attacking ordinary citizens that turned out all across Canada to support this freedom convoy, and then to not even address their concerns. He won't even communicate with, he won't speak with them. He won't negotiate anything. He's hiding. He is in hiding. And to send out these kinds of tweets, like I said on the program earlier this week, I mean, in a more normal time, he'd be run out of office immediately. The media, everyone would turn on him. Well, the nation has, for the most part. But the media is there to provide cover. And that's, as usual, that's a pretty big angle to this story. And yet the media, more and more, they are being exposed for the communist propaganda that they're spewing out nonstop. They are being exposed, and you can, even looking at some of the headlines from here in the United States, you're beginning to see the tide turning, as we've been saying. I saw the tweet just before the show started today. Jeff Zucker, the CNN president, resigning over some kind of inappropriate relationship. You have to wonder if there's more to this story. Jeff Zucker's out. Chris Cuomo, of course, he's out from a few months ago. Rachel Maddow, she just announced a couple days ago that she's going to be taking months off. And she's, I mean, if you put MSNBC and CNN together, Rachel Maddow is about, that's about the only, I guess, somewhat popular commentator that they have. She's going to be gone. She's moving on from her nightly broadcast. There was a report a week or two ago, Joy Reid, she lost her primetime slot on, I forget if she's with CNN or MSNBC. But these people are being exposed for the frauds that they are. Even Whoopi Goldberg is out. She's suspended for 2 weeks, as you heard at the top of the hour. ABC, she's there saying that the Holocaust had nothing to do with race. Can you imagine? Now she's since apologized. And then, speaking of communist propaganda, communist commentary, listen to Mika Brzezinski this morning on Morning Joe as she defended Whoopi Goldberg. This is clip 4.
If you don't know her heart, then you haven't been watching. And so that's why the 2 week suspension to me seems more about something else and something that maybe we need to start putting behind us, which is this unbelievable need to punish and judge people
and cancel
when they've
people.
Made a mistake.
Yeah.
Or when, I mean, if Whoopi Goldberg is canceled, that would be the end of this all. This cancel culture is getting so out of hand.
If Whoopi Goldberg is canceled, that would be the end. The end of what? She's on The View with a few other communists? And now they're concerned about that. These are the people working to get Joe Rogan and people like him canceled. These are the same people, the total lack of self-awareness here. It's, I mean, we know that that's a problem, but it's still stunning to hear these people turn on a dime when it's one of their own. Here they're trying to get YouTube, Google, Twitter, Spotify to blot out Joe Rogan or whoever else if it doesn't fit within their narrative. And now they're talking about the end of the world if Whoopi Goldberg gets canceled. It's unbelievable. Listen to Brian Stelter's commentary on the push for Spotify to deplatform Joe Rogan's show. This is clip 9.
You think about major newsrooms like CNN that have health departments and desks and operations that work hard on verifying information on COVID-19. And then you have talk show stars like Joe Rogan who just wing it, who make it up as they go along. And because figures like Rogan are trusted by people that don't trust real newsrooms, we have a tension, a problem that's much bigger than Spotify, much bigger than any single platform.
It's much bigger than Spotify. It gets down to those, as Trudeau said last week, those unacceptable views. That's what we've got to get rid of. Well, why do people listen to Joe Rogan and reject what's coming out of the CNN newsroom? He's talking about the network that just lost its president, resigning in shame, or for whatever reason. There's probably more to the story. As I say, Mr. Stelter could be next for all that we know. But there he is, waxing eloquent about, look, this is even bigger than Spotify. It's kind of like Katie Couric said a few years ago. How are we going to deprogram these Trump supporters? How, or if you move it to Canada, how are we going to deprogram these truckers? First, we've got to convince the public that they're violent, that they're racist. But then, I mean, we've got to confront these people for their unacceptable views. He just can't. There was a story the other day that said Joe Rogan's approval rating is higher than Joe Biden's. You know about Joe Biden, the fake president? Just as unpopular as any president in U.S. history. And Justin Trudeau is trying to keep pace, evidently, with the unpopularity ratings. He goes into hiding. He's nowhere near Ottawa. And he tweets out yesterday that he's condemning the anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, anti-black racism, homophobia, and transphobia that we've seen on display in Ottawa. I was watching a live YouTube feed just before the show. This guy walking through and talking to the truckers, the protesters. Didn't see any of that. Didn't see any of that, what Justin Trudeau said was going on. That we've seen? That's exactly the problem. That's not what you're seeing in Ottawa. They lie. They lie. And the tide is beginning. It's beginning to turn. And there's indications, too, that this protest is having an impact. It may not be impacting Justin Trudeau. Some of the headlines coming out of Canada. Saskatchewan dropping all vax passports and COVID measures by the end of February. So there's some good news for people living in Saskatchewan. Alberta said that they're working towards dropping vax passports by the end of the month. It says, although Premier Kinney said the protesters in Coutts should go home because they are restricting freedom of travel. So you've got that passing at Coutts, just a little village that's suddenly doubled or tripled in size because of the hundreds of truckers. That's another angle to this story. You've got the blockade in Coutts, Alberta, just south of Calgary by 2-3 hours. And then you've got the protesters that are clogging the streets of Ottawa. And you've got some mayors and individuals that are starting to say, okay, let's relax some of these restrictions. Quebec is dropping the unvaxxed tax. They wanted to tax the unvaccinated. They're dropping with that. Ontario Premier Doug Ford is having a sudden change of heart on COVID lockdowns. Surprise, surprise. Some of these politicians are beginning to think about their future in politics. Maybe we ought to lift some of these restrictions. How about that? British Columbia's chief medical officer said BC could start lifting measures soon. And he, according to our Canadian office, he's one of the extremists with respect to restrictions, lockdowns, mandates. And even he says, you know, yeah, we can start to lift some of this. But then consider this. It's not because of the protesting. It's not because, certainly not because of the trucker convoy. This is from the National Post. Health officials are hinting at ending COVID restrictions, and it's not because of the truckers. It's not because of the protest. I mean, it's just time. It's just time that we do it, you see. There's your media. And then that's even a fairly conservative source. There's your media assuring you that, look, it doesn't have anything to do with this populist movement, with the fact that a majority are fed up. A majority want their freedom back. They want to be able to move from province to province. They want to be able to move from Canada to the U.S. and then U.S. to Canada. without having to show a vaccine passport, without having the Canadian government tracking your every movement. The people have had enough. And you can see why. Because we're 2 years into it. And look at the science. This is from Johns Hopkins. This is not from, you know, a community college down the street. Johns Hopkins University just concluded that lockdowns did not reduce COVID mortality. Can you believe this? The lockdowns did not reduce COVID mortality. They didn't save anyone from dying of COVID. But what did they do? Well, they caused a lot of other problems. They practically destroyed the economy. It led to a rise in suicides and alcohol addiction, drug overdose. And then it doesn't even help prevent the spread of COVID? It doesn't even help stop COVID deaths in their tracks? No, it doesn't. This, according to Johns Hopkins University, I mean, this is unbelievable. You cannot make this up. The Washington Times, it says lockdowns in the U.S. and Europe had little or no impact in reducing deaths from COVID-19, according to a new analysis by researchers at Johns Hopkins University. The lockdowns during the early phase of the pandemic in 2020 reduced COVID-19 mortality by about 0.2%. In other words, it's negligible. In other words, it had no positive impact. It says here, we find no evidence that lockdowns, school closures, border closures, and limiting gatherings have had a noticeable effect on the COVID-19 mortality, the researchers wrote. And you know what's so insidious about this? Is the ruling class, they knew this early on. That's why Boris Johnson was having all of his birthday and Christmas parties. No problem. Yeah, we're having 20, 30, 40 people over. It's no big deal. It's not going to stop the spread of COVID, these strict lockdown measures. So let's party. It's just like Gavin Newsom at the football game on Sunday. Pull off the mask. Take the pictures with Magic Johnson. And then more pictures and more footage reveal that despite what he says, I just took it off for a quick photo. He lies. He had it off the entire time. And notice these box seats. This is where the rich people are watching the game. None of them have a mask. None of them are wearing a mask. And yet, that's the site of the next Super Bowl in just a week and a half. And do you know that to get into the Super Bowl, you have to be vaxxed and fully masked? These ruling elites weren't wearing the mask just 3 days ago. The people, you see, have had enough. They've had enough. They see these studies coming in from Johns Hopkins. They see how hypocritical the ruling class is. And they see how the media lie. And yes, indeed, they trust Joe Rogan more than they trust Brian Stelter or Joe Biden. Listen to this from Jen Psaki. Speaking of Joe Biden, this is the propaganda chief at the White House. Listen to what she said. Listen to her take, not just on crime, but on the media. This is clip 7.
So right now, just to give you a sense, so CNN, Pentagon, as many as 8,500 U.S. troops on heightened alert. Okay, true. Same on MSNBC. CNBC is doing their own thing about the market. And then on Fox is Jeanine Pirro talking about soft on crime consequences. I mean, what does that even mean, right?
She's giving us a little analysis on the media coverage over at Fox. Now, they're the enemy, according to her. They're talking about soft on crime policies and how that's leading to more crime. And she says, this is the White House press spokesperson. She says, what does that even mean? What does that even mean? You mean she can't make the connection between defund the police, the defund the police movement, and the fact that crime is exploding into the streets of American cities? There's your fake press secretary. They're right in bed together, aren't they? Jen Psaki, Joe Biden, Justin Trudeau, the CBC, CNN, MSNBC. And what do ordinary people think of these hypocrites? Listen to Gavin Newsom following what should be a scandal. Him going about his business at this football game with no mask, and he explains his way out of it this way. Clip 10.
You're correct. I was very judicious yesterday. Very judicious. And you'll see the photo that I did take where Magic was kind enough, generous enough to ask me for a photograph. And in my left hand's the mask, and I took a photo. The rest of the time, I wore it, as we all should. Not when I had a glass of water or a thing. And I encourage everybody else to do so. And that's it.
It's hard to stomach, isn't it? He wasn't wearing it the rest of the time. Here he gets caught, and what does he say? I was very judicious. I'm perfectly righteous. I did everything just right. Just like when he went to that swanky restaurant in Northern California during peak lockdown, and he has a big party. He's like Boris Johnson. It's party time. Even when the rest of Californians can't hardly move. Listen to this from Fairfax County in Virginia, clip 5.
Every morning last week, from Tuesday until Friday, Stephanie Lundquist Arora escorted her 3 sons to school. 2 attend this elementary, her oldest this middle school. None of the children wore masks, a violation of FCPS policy. She says it was their decision.
My sons feel that they should have the right now to not wear a mask, so I left it up to them.
Now all 3 boys trying to keep up with their studies from home. That's because they've been suspended day after day. FCPS considers their refusal to wear a mask a violation of the dress code.
I think it's incredibly draconian. I think it's unbelievable.
So her 3 boys are suspended because they won't wear a mask for 7 hours of the school day. 7 hours at school. They're suspended. Never mind if Glenn Youngkin is now the new governor and he says, look, we've got to lift these mandates. It doesn't matter for these communist school boards. The same one, by the way, that voted unanimously to protect transgender student rights. So much so that you can actually be a transgender and get away with rape. And we'll just move you to another school. But if you don't wear a mask, you're suspended. You're expelled. You got to do school from home. But what about Gavin Newsom? Never mind Gavin Newsom. He knows how to be judicious. He's very judicious in the box seats at the football game. He knows when to take it off. Drink a cup of water, take a photo with Magic Johnson, and then tell the whole world, the rest of the time, I had it on. He's sitting there to the right of the screen without a mask on. Magic Johnson's nowhere around. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think he's sitting next to the mayor of Los Angeles. No mask! These are the ones that are imposing these draconian measures on the rest of us. And mothers like the one in Fairfax County, or the father of that rape victim, they've had enough. They've had enough. The truckers, they have had enough. This is from the UK news stack. The official COVID figures from the UK say that COVID is killing 0.14% of all positive cases. The flu, listen to this. This is from the UK. The stats, the studies, you see they're starting to come in. And remember what we said at the trumpet early on? The cure is killing us. The cure is going to be worse than this flu. COVID kills 0.14% of all positive cases. The flu kills 0.1 to 0.2 cases or percent of all cases. So in other words, normal COVID was a bad flu. Omicron's not even a bad flu. That's just like a cold. But going back to 2020, what are the studies? What do the studies now tell us? It was, as we said from the beginning, a bad flu. One of our early broadcasts at the peak We titled it World War Flu. When have we ever seen something such as this? I mean, this is an attack, and it's, like I said yesterday, not just an attack on America. It's an attack on Canada, on Australia, on Great Britain, New Zealand. The VAERS website, the latest update. This is through January 21st. 1,071,000 adverse reaction reports. Another 18,000 filed over the course of 7 days. This is just 1 week of statistics. 414 more deaths because of the vaccine. The vaccine causing hundreds of deaths, at least that we know of, that are reported to the CDC and posted at the CDC. The CDC's website. VAERS. Look it up for yourself. It's difficult to get to it. They make it extremely difficult to get to, but it's there. It's there, and thankfully we've got some blogs here and there that follow it each week. 414 deaths. And now what do they want us to do? Well, besides forcing children to go to school with masks, we got to get them jabbed as soon as is possible. Listen to this report from CNN yesterday, clip 6.
Pfizer is expected to ask the FDA to authorize its COVID vaccine for children under 5 as early as today. CNN has just confirmed this, first reported by the Washington Post.
So if emergency use authorization is granted, children as young as 6 months old could have access to a two-shot regimen by the end of this month.
6 months old. These people are insane. These are people who have lost their minds. Of course, Pfizer wants to get it into the six-month-old. It's more money for Pfizer. That's the stock prices are going to continue to go up for Pfizer. And CNN gleefully reporting that, yeah, we can start them in at hopefully 6 months. Listen to Jake Tapper from over the weekend. This is clip 11.
One of the things that's a little bit frustrating is people demanding schools be open, people demanding that students don't have to wear masks without acknowledging that most kids are still not vaccinated. If you want to, it seems to me, you want to open the schools as safely as possible. You know, all the kids and teachers and faculty and staff need to be vaccinated. That's the safest thing to do, right?
Yeah, all the students have to be vaxxed and masked, but the elites can do as they wish. Listen to Tony Fauci talk about, again, how that we need to jab the little ones, clip 12.
And the original data that was put forth, it looked like the dose and the regimen for the children who were 6 months to 24 months worked well. But it turned out that the other dose, namely the other group from 24 months to 4 years, did not yet reach the level of non-inferiority. So the studies are continued. It looks like it will be a three-dose regimen.
Three doses. Got to get it into the little ones. No wonder people are making a stand, whether it's in Ottawa or at the Coots Crossing or in Fairfax County or in all of Virginia. If you go back to the governor's race from last year, they're making a stand in Canberra, Australia. They're turning out in droves to protest against the ruling class in London, in Melbourne, even in European cities. And yet, like I said yesterday, when you look at even conservative leaders, more often than not, you see a total lack of courage. Where are the men of courage? Listen to Mitch McConnell. I played that clip for you on Lindsey Graham, what he said about January 6th. And here's Mitch McConnell's take. Remember, Donald Trump said Saturday night, the people that were at that January 6th protest, they need to be dealt with fairly, according to the law. And if they don't deserve to be in prison for years and years and years, then I might pardon them. And that triggered the communists. But these are conservatives now, supposedly. Lindsey Graham. And then for his part, here's Mitch McConnell, clip 3.
concerned are you about the former president offering pardons to people who attacked the Capitol on January 6th? And because of his comments, does he have the moral authority to be president again?
What we saw here on January the 6th was an effort to prevent the peaceful transfer of power from one administration to another, which had never happened before in our country. My view is I would not be in favor of shortening any of the sentences for any of the people who pleaded guilty to crimes.
So he's like, Graham, throw the book at him. Put him in prison. Keep him there. But you know what's interesting about that quote? He says, it was an attempt to prevent the peaceful transfer of power from one administration to another, which had never happened before in our country. That's exactly what happened in 2016 and 17. That's exactly what Obama and Comey and Mueller and all of those gang members, those communists in government, they worked for 4 years. They're still working. Notice the reporter there. He says, does Donald Trump's comments, does that mean he doesn't have the moral authority to be president again? See, they think the same way. And Mitch McConnell, he's right on board with that. He doesn't come out and say, well, he shouldn't be president again. But he basically sides with the communist reporter. This is state media, whether it's in Canada, whether it's the United States. Working together. One and the same. And where are the men of courage among the conservative parties? A lot of weakness, a lot of compromise in Ottawa, in Washington, D.C. This is from an exchange Director Ray of the FBI had. He was asked Monday night about the soft-handed approach that the FBI has taken with respect to all of those protests in 2020 as compared to January 6th. And you know what the director of the FBI said? Well, no, it's equal and the same. We go after crime just as aggressively in the summer of 2020 as we do with January 6th. He lies. He lies. It's just like the people that say, hey, Ottawa, it's violent, it's racist, it's homophobic, they're stealing food from the homeless. They just lie. This is from, I forget the source. It says, we have in both instances opened hundreds of investigations. This is quoting Director Ray. We've made hundreds of arrests in both. We've used nearly all 56 of our field offices, including our joint terrorism task forces in both. We've used investigative publicity, most wanted posters, and things like that in both. We're aggressively pursuing both. So says the director of the FBI. Here's an accurate analysis from Julie Kelly at American Greatness. She says, according to an analysis by a coalition of police chiefs, at least 8,700 protests occurred across 68 major cities and 574 involved acts of violence in just a two-month span in 2020. This is just 2 months in the summer of 2020, the summer of love, the summer of peaceful protests. There were 574 acts of violence. It says during a recent Senate Judiciary Committee hearing, Jill Sanborn, assistant director of the FBI's National Security Branch, struggled to answer how many people face federal charges related to the 2020 riots. Sanborn admitted that the FBI has arrested just north of 250 people. 750 for January 6th. But 250 for all of the summer of 2020. And cities were burning to the ground. Can you believe this? And the FBI director has the audacity to get up in front of a microphone and say, no, we approach crime exactly the same way. Whether it's coming from Antifa or BLM, or whether it's coming from Trump supporters that have been incited to riot by federal agents. Wow. Is America under attack? America under attack. If you don't have that booklet, it was produced by this church 8-9 years ago, and it's as timely as ever. Call our operators, 1-866-930-9930. 3024 and request your free copy of America Under Attack. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'd love to hear from you. You can email the show, td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
In the God Family Vision book and also, what's the other one? The Last Hour. In both those books, my father describes the role of the Father as the foundational truth in the Bible. He says it's the most profound understanding in the Bible. He said it's the fundamental truth of God's plan. Why is that? I mean, how come this is the most foundational, the most profound, the most fundamental truth in all of the Bible? Why would God really highlight that role in particular? I mean, this is important, this subject, because as you know, in the world of traditional Christianity, they put the focus, they put the spotlight on Jesus Christ. And of course, Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Son of the Highest. But what about the Highest? What about the Father? And why, when you look into the Bible, when you actually examine the teachings, the sermons, the messages of Jesus Christ, why is he always pointing the spotlight onto his Father? We're told in the Bible to follow in the steps of Jesus Christ. So shouldn't we follow that example? Isn't that what Jesus Christ wants us to do? Christ, as we'll see in a moment, he came to declare the Father. Notice first what it says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 27. It says, well, verse 26 says, that the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. It says, for he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. It's speaking of the Father and Jesus Christ, who put all things under the feet of Christ. But it's accepted, of course, that God the Father's not under Christ. God the Father reigns supreme over all of his creation, over his family. He is preeminent. That's why the Bible puts the emphasis on the Father's role the way that it does. He's the head of everything, and we should see him as such. This whole concept of fatherhood, it comes straight from the mind of the ultimate Father, God the Father, our Heavenly Father. And God put that role in the physical family in order to help us better understand his role in his family. And so that right there tells you that it's going to be a massive target in the devil's eyes. When he, and you see it happening all across our nations, the attack on the Father's role. And really the ultimate target there is God himself. That's who Satan wants to blot out. As you've heard over and again on this program, if it's truth, or if it has to do with God, or if it has to do with the Bible, Satan's ultimate objective is to blot it out, to erase it. This booklet here, Conspiracy Against Fatherhood. It's just a short little booklet, an article in the Old Trumpet. I forget which year it came out, years ago. The Trumpet magazine, by the way, again, I mentioned this briefly in the first segment, but if you're not a subscriber, this is our anniversary issue, February 2022. We're 32 years into, I believe it would be, 32 years into this publication. Tomorrow's News Today, everything that we offer on this program, everything that my father offers on the Key of David, we offer without cost or obligation. There's obviously an army of supporters that do contribute to this work so that we can pay for these things, so that we can print and produce magazines and booklets like this. But for you, the viewer, if you're new to this work, we want to, and others who've made sacrifices so that we can distribute this, we want to give it away free. Freely you have received, freely give, said Jesus. God has given us so much, and he wants us to give it away to anyone who's willing to read through it, to study it. Call our operators and request the Conspiracy Against Fatherhood, that toll-free number in Canada, in the U.S., in the Caribbean. It's 1-866-930-3024. Let's notice John chapter 1. We'll just focus on a couple of scriptures here today, but this is a concept, this is a vision that just keeps getting deeper and deeper and deeper. You think about the ministry of Herbert Armstrong, the end-time Elijah, the prophecy there in Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6, that Elijah, the one coming in the spirit and power of Elijah, would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and turn the hearts of the children to their father, lest I come and smite the earth with the curse. It's a family vision through and through, the true gospel that Jesus proclaimed. I've been talking about that in recent programs. This family vision, you'll probably get a steady dose of it until we get to graduation in May, because this year I'm teaching Principles of Living and Marriage and Family, two fundamental classes here at God's College. God is a family. It's a God family vision. And who is the head of the family? Who's at the heart of the family? Which role is preeminent in the family of God? That would be the role of the Father. And that's why this is the foundational truth of the Bible. Of all the Bible. If we get this, then we're going to understand the true gospel that Jesus proclaimed. We're going to understand why he came to this earth to reveal, to declare the Father. John 1 and verse 18, notice this, it says, no man has seen God, this is Jesus talking, no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. He's declared him. Now, first, Christ reminds us here that this relationship that he, as the Son, has with the Father, I mean, he's right in the bosom there. And the thing of it is, that's where God the Father wants for you and I to be. He wants us to be in the bosom. He wants us to be close to him. He wants us, as his children, to have a close and intimate bond with our Heavenly Father. This is what Jesus Christ had. Right there in the Father's bosom. I mean, you don't look at families today and see this kind of love and devotion between a father and a son, let's say. Instead, you see a lot of children resisting and disobeying and dishonoring the father. And you see lots of fathers, for their part, that go missing, that view their responsibilities, if they view that they have any, just bring home the check and then sit on the recliner and everything's good. How many fathers today keep their sons right in their bosom? How many parents and children share this kind of intimacy? I gave some stats yesterday in Marriage and Family, where according to one study some number of years ago, about a third of American parents said that if they had it to do over again, they wouldn't have had children. Can you believe that? It's probably worse today, because I think that study was from 5-10 years ago. But a third, they get through the experience, they marry, they have children, and then they decide late in life, you know what, if I had it to do over again, I wouldn't even have children. Obviously, they don't see children as blessings from God. They don't see children, like it says in the Psalms, as gifts from God. They don't view their children the way Hannah viewed Samuel. She wanted to dedicate that young boy's life to God's work. If you bring this family vision into your family, there is no greater joy in life than to see young people brought up, children brought up in the nurture and the admonition of the eternal. My wife and me, we're still struggling with the empty nest syndrome. We're still struggling with the fact that there's no little ones just across the hall on the other side of the house. Because what a blessing. And it goes by so fast. It goes by so quickly. And we learn so much along the way about God and His family. And that's the point. That's the point. It's the foundational truth of the Bible. As far as this relationship in the bosom of the Father, my father says in the God Family Vision, I should have brought that book as well, but that would be a great one to to go with the conspiracy. You read about the conspiracy in this little booklet, and then you go over to the God Family Vision, my father's book from, I think, 20 years ago. Wonderful vision, a beautiful vision. Call our operators and request that one, as well as Conspiracy Against Fatherhood, and come to an understanding, a deeper understanding of the most foundational truth of the Bible, the God family revolving around the role of God the Father. That's where the Father wants you, my father writes. He wants you in His bosom to have the same relationship that He and Christ have. Jesus Christ set an example showing us how to have that relationship with our Father. I mean, this is deep revelation. It says in the Last Hour book, we can have the most personal relationship with our Father. Being in the bosom of the Father is the ultimate love for our Father. There is no closeness in the universe so intimate as this relationship. We can be in the bosom of the Father. Each one of us needs to grow richer in this fellowship with the Father and the Son. Only Jesus Christ can lead us into the bosom of the Father. It says this is the deepest kind of family fellowship. Christ is in the bosom of the Father and is leading us into this same rich, deep family relationship. There you see the Last Hour book, another one. I can't give you everything on one show, but if you want to fill up your library with the God Family Vision, request these booklets. It says here, Christ is in the bosom of the Father and is leading us into that same rich, deep family relationship. Could any word describe our God family love better than bosom? What a wonderful word. This isn't old-fashioned. Not at all. This is what God wants. He loves His children. He sacrificed His only begotten Son for you and me. He sacrificed all for family. This is what God's master plan is all about. God the Father bringing sons into His family, bringing sons right into His bosom. This is what we want to think about when we build a family, or maybe to rely on the Psalm 127, when God builds a family through us, unless the Lord builds the house. God is a family builder. That's what we want to be. God yearns for an intimate relationship with his family. That's what we want to do. Yearn for family. God reaches out to his sons. And that's what a good father in God's family does as well. He reaches out to children. He builds a family around this role of the father, this vision of the father. He takes his duties and responsibilities as a father seriously, if he's a godly man, for sure. The God Family Vision book says, God the Father had a fierce determination to have a family. He's fiercely determined to build a family. He's not a passive father. He's not sitting back on the recliner. Not our Father in heaven. He's active. He's active. Ephesians 4:6 describes him as the God and Father of all, who's not only above all, but he's also through all and in you all. Read that. Read that sometime after the show today. Ephesians 4 and verse 6. What a beautiful verse. God is through all and in you all. Wow, what a father. What a father he is. And notice in verse 18, we just read it. Jesus Christ the Son came to declare the Father. These are some powerful words. Fierce, bosom, declare. What does it mean to declare the Father? It means that Jesus Christ came to declare the most foundational truth in the Bible. He came to declare the Father. The whole world, and even most of God's own people, are deceived about this verse. You'll find that statement in the God Family Vision. The world is deceived about this because, as I said at the start, the whole focus of these false gospels is on Jesus Christ, and even that they get wrong. And they omit the Father. They just erase the Father from the picture, and that's exactly the way Satan wants it. That's all part of the conspiracy. Herbert Armstrong came to this earth to, among other things, to put the Father right at the heart of family, whether you look at it spiritually or physically. Look at Christ's ministry. Over and over again, he emphasized his relationship with the Father. He pointed to the Father. He went to the Father. He declared the Father. He was in the bosom of the Father. And yet, it's amazing that in the churches of this world, they don't even hardly talk about the Father. How is that? Why is that? How could that happen? Well, it's just like we've seen with so many of the stories we cover in the first segment of this show. Satan lies. He lies. He doesn't want this world. He doesn't want the traditional Christian world looking to God the Father. He wants them looking to his position as God of this world. Jesus said to those Pharisees, your father is the devil. Satan wants them as his children, and he's the author of dysfunctional upside-down families. God, however, is raising up a family, the God family. That's what he's going to use to rule this world. That's what God's kingdom is, to be set up at the return of Christ. It's God's family administering God's family government. Well, there's much more, obviously, with a vision as deep as this that we can get into, but we'll have to reserve that for another day. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Send us some feedback, td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.